Welcome to Sunday morning worship at Berry Street Mennonite Church. This is Pentecost Sunday. The word Pentecost means 50th. After Jesus' resurrection and ascension, the disciples were gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate the festival that came 50 days after Passover. And on that day, tongues of fire appeared and rested on them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. For us Christians, Pentecost Sunday celebrates the fiery gift of the Holy Spirit, symbolized by wearing the color red. Fire. Alaboremi a mi, Señor.
And please turn in the blue folder to number 1, Alabore. And note, we'll sing the refrain, then verse 1, then the refrain, and verse 2. And just notice on verse 2, it's longer, and we repeat each line. And those who are able, please stand.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us worship God and let us pray. Lord God, through your Holy Spirit, you created the world. Through your Holy Spirit, you brought the Church of Jesus Christ into being. And through your Holy Spirit, you brought together this family of believers, this congregation. For the presence of your Spirit in this service of worship, we pray and give you thanks, O Ancient of Days. Amen.
Purple Sing the Storybook, number 101, Blessing and Honor, number 101. And those who are able, let's go ahead and stand again, please. 109, excuse me, 109. Now please turn to the blue hymnal to number 2, In Thy Holy Place.
Thank you.
It is time to confess our faith on this Pentecost Sunday. So please turn to number 135 in Sing the Journey, the Green Book. This confession, called the Hispanic Creed, is in both Spanish and, on the following page, English. I will ask you if Spanish is your first or an acquired language. Please read in Spanish. Those of us who do not have that facility will read in English. Let us confess together. We believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth, creator of all peoples and all cultures, creator of all tongues and races. We believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord, God made flesh in a person for all humanity. God made flesh in an age for all ages. God made flesh in one culture for all cultures. God made flesh in love and grace for all creation. We believe in the Holy Spirit, through whom God incarnate in Jesus Christ makes his presence known in our peoples and our cultures, through whom God, creator of all that exists, gives us power to become new creatures, whose infinite gifts make us one people, the body of Christ. We believe in the Church Universal because it is a sign of God's reign, whose faithfulness is shown in its many hues, where all colors paint a single landscape, where all tongues sing the same praise. We believe in the reign of God, the day of the great fiesta, when all the colors of creation will form a harmonious rainbow, when all peoples will join in a joyful banquet, when all tongues of the universe will sing the same song. And we believe, because we believe, we commit ourselves to believe for those who do not believe, to love for those who do not love, to dream for those who do not dream, until the day when hope becomes reality. Amen. Would you please rise? Through the Holy Spirit, God does empower us, brothers and sisters, to become new creatures in Christ, to become a new community, and to become a people of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you. Please pass the peace of Christ. Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, the peace of Christ, la paz de Cristo. I'm going to be sharing a brief report from our meeting last Sunday to share an update on the responses to the proposals by the community and leadership task forces, and then saying just a word about what will be upcoming. If you did not submit a ballot response to offer your counsel in this process, you can still do so today, and if you need a ballot form, I have that. But we really ask that they finally be in today so we can offer a final report this week of the responses. Last week when we gathered, the proposals of both the community and leadership task groups were strongly affirmed. Each person had the option of either saying, I affirm each of these proposals individually, I affirm, but then to identify reservations also that accompany that, or to say, I do not affirm. The vast majority affirmed both proposals. There were a number who said, I affirm, but with reservation, and identified reservations. And I'm going to speak to two of those now because they were important words of counsel. So were the others as well. And this week, you will receive a fuller report with more details once we have all of the ballots in. I want to call attention to two words of counsel because they were repeated. First, that the concern that the discernment around inclusion here at Prairie Street in membership and participation be completed prior to calling a new pastor. We heard this concern, and we are going to be working at pacing the work of the Pastoral Discernment and Search Committee to honor this. We're not holding off on that beginning. The Pastoral Search Committee will begin their work, but to keep the results of that and that conversation in conversation with the pastoral search and discernment process. Secondly, the concern we heard was that we may have too much organization for the size of the congregation that we are, that we don't have enough people to fill all the roles or lead all the ministries projected. We've also heard that concern and are assessing where we are in terms of persons to take on various leadership roles. This is a question that is being and will be addressed in conversation with the Gift Discernment Group as well as in our roundtable discussions. So just a couple words about some things that are upcoming. A week ago, you received in your mailbox a paper that gives a timeline of the tasks that are before us. That's a projected timeline that you can refer to say, okay, how is this process unfolding? What are the next steps being taken? Please understand that's a roadmap. If there's anything on that, it's not so much a checklist of target dates as it is to saying, this is how we see it unfolding. There may be some changes with dates and times in that process, but that's a map of the work that's before us. With regard to the search committee, Pastoral Search and Discernment Committee, we are awaiting final responses from a couple of people, and we hope to bring the names of persons that we're recommending to serve on the Search and Discernment Committee forward this week. Please pray for them even now in that process of discernment. The Gifts Committee, that is Ellie Kreider, Marie Troyer, and Mary Catherine Miller, are helping to assess the roles that are filled and those that are open and the process by which we call forth people to help fill those roles. And that their work will help us with this process of moving forward as well as assessing. Do we have too much? Can we sustain all this? There will be a roundtable meeting, the first in some time, on Tuesday, June 18th, from 6:30 to 8:15 p.m. It's on the church calendar. We strongly ask that elders, all team members, pastors, and executive committee to make every effort to be present for this meeting. We recognize that not everyone will be able to, but to do as much as we can, and also to remember roundtable meetings are open meetings. So everyone is invited to come and be part of that. The primary agenda for that meeting really is clarifying the implications of adopting these proposals. What would they mean for each of the teams? And what is the work that's ahead? So it's really a meeting to start to clarify in detail actions to be that will follow. As we have been working, and not unrelated to this concern of enough people to serve roles, it has become clear that we have persons among us who have been serving in roles long beyond what they had committed to because of transitional changes. Sometimes we ask people, can you please stay on a bit longer? Sometimes we didn't ask and we just assumed because we didn't want to hear a no. That's not fair to people, but people have been gracious in offering themselves. And throughout this summer, we want to recognize endings and beginnings in roles. This morning, particularly, we want to recognize Dorothy Wiebe Johnson. Dorothy, would you come forward? Dorothy has been serving as an elder among us. Dorothy's ministry of care, prayer, and encouragement has been significant for this congregation. She has touched lives, often at times of brokenness and need. She has participated in visitation ministries and given above and beyond of her time and energy to that work. As I said, this has gone far beyond what the original term was assumed to be Dorothy. We want to recognize that and say we as a congregation are grateful. You have blessed us in many ways. So this morning, we release you from your service as an elder, but we do so with deep gratitude. And may we express that gratitude as a congregation to Dorothy. On this day of Pentecost, we remember the gifts that God has poured out through God's Spirit. So we give thanks also for that Spirit that has enlivened Dorothy's work. And so thank you, Dorothy, for your ministry among us.
And I will continue to be in ministry among us, but okay. In a different way.
We will, for the foreseeable period ahead, be continuing with three elders. We are not going to immediately seek out a fourth elder. And that was done in consultation with the elders, feeling where we are at this moment, that load can be carried by three. And that will be an ongoing matter of discernment if an additional person needs to be called. We also note in an ongoing way that both Francis and Carolyn have been serving graciously and also beyond the times that we have requested or remunerated and giving of themselves freely. And we want to express our thanks in an ongoing way to both of you. And I call us all to continue to uphold in our prayers. Both Francis and Carolyn, as well as Steve as our transitional minister in their work among us. We will do more formal recognizings at different places, but I did want to call this to our attention. I want to let you know this is my last Sunday here until August, and so Josh Kinder will be picking up during the month of July, chairing the executive committee and giving leadership to that work carrying on. I will be here through and at least present for the roundtable conversations. Josh will be chairing that. As I said, this you will receive this in written form, but may it increasingly be said of this congregation, as was said of the early church, often by their critics, see how they love one another. And let that love be what binds us together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Peace of Christ be with you.
If the children would come forward, Lois has something for you.
Group of children here this morning, but I don't see our basket anywhere. Might be out there. Okay. Do you want to look? Okay. While Carolyn goes to look for our basket, I want to explain a little bit what we're going to do. Last Sunday, everybody got in their mailbox something that had a list of things that people who have to suddenly leave their homes because maybe it was a flood or a storm or a fire or something, and they didn't have time to take with them their toothbrushes or their towels or their soap. Just what they were wearing is all they had. MCC, which stands for Mennonite Central Committee, sends kits. They're called relief kits, and they help people who need those kinds of things. And that's what we're collecting right now. Let me pass this quickly. We'll collect the money, and then we're going to have the children collect whatever people brought today to put up here with the gifts for Mennonite Central Committee. I put a few of the things up here, and I see Nathaniel just brought a bag up too. See the bag on the bottom under the towel there? There are some bags through the congregation. Some people will, if they pass them toward the aisles, you kids go on out back now and get some more bags and bring them up, please. Go on. Let's go get them. Some go out this way. Go find some bags. Does anybody have any over there? We can, but yeah. Okay. Bring them up here. Bring the bags up if anybody has any. Oh my. My goodness, what have you found? Oh good. Here Nathaniel has some more soap for people that need soap. What are some of the things you have in your bags here? Some more towels. Okay, good. Well, next Sunday and the Sunday after, for two more Sundays, if you forgot back there, it looks like a lot of you did forget. Don't forget next Sunday, okay? The kids may not be collecting, but we will be collecting. Okay, thank you for helping me get these things together. You may go back to your parents.
Thank you. Our scripture this morning is from Acts 2, beginning at the beginning. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability.
Cuando llegó el día del Pentecostés, todos ellos estaban juntos y en el mismo lugar. De repente, un estruendo como de un fuerte viento vino del cielo y sopló y llenó toda la casa donde se encontraban. Entonces aparecieron unas lenguas como de fuego que se repartieron y fueron a posarse sobre cada uno de ellos. Todos ellos fueron llenos del Espíritu Santo y comenzaron a hablar en otras lenguas, según el Espíritu los llevaba a expresarse.
So those who welcomed his message were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need.
Fue así como los que recibieron su palabra fueron bautizados, y ese día se añadieron como 3,000 personas, las cuales se mantenían fieles a las enseñanzas de los apóstoles y en el mutuo compañerismo, en el partimiento del pan y en las oraciones. Al ver las muchas maravillas y señales que los apóstoles hacían, todos se llenaban de temor. Y todos los que habían creído se mantenían unidos y lo compartían todo. Vendían sus propiedades y posesiones y todo lo compartían entre ellos según las necesidades de cada uno.
Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved.
Todos los días se reunían en el templo y partían el pan en las casas y comían juntos con alegría y sencillez de corazón, mientras alababan a Dios y brindaban ayuda a todo el pueblo. Y cada día el Señor añadía a la iglesia a los que habían de ser salvos.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Palabra del Señor.
Gracias a Dios.
Our preacher this morning is our pastor, Steve Thomas. Let us pray. God, we pray that you would be with our pastor, with Steve, as he proclaims your word to us. Give us ears to hear and faith to believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. A seminary professor by the name of Fred Craddock was giving a lecture in another seminary one year. And he tells a story of how when he stood up to present the lecture, a student interrupted him and said, "Before you speak, I need to know, are you a Pentecostal?" He was kind of taken aback, and the other students and the seminary community was aghast at this question. And the student repeated his question, "I need to know, are you a Pentecostal?" To this, Craddock replied, "Do you mean, am I a member of a Pentecostal church?" "No." "Are you a Pentecostal?" To that, Craddock replied, "Do you mean, am I a charismatic?" "No, I'm asking you, are you a Pentecostal?" And then Craddock said, "Do you mean, oh, do I speak in tongues?" And the student said, "No, I'm asking you, are you a Pentecostal?" Finally, Craddock said, "I don't understand what you're asking. What do you mean?" And then the student stood up and walked out saying, "Obviously, you're not a Pentecostal." Reminds me of a conversation I had some years ago with a young man in Goshen who pressed me with questions about being part of a spirit-filled congregation, wondering if I was a charismatic. And we engaged in a conversation, and he was relieved. I was noticed his relief when he learned that I spoke in tongues following a charismatic experience that I had with this group that I was a part of early in my Christian life. As if somehow, by satisfying that question of being a charismatic, meant somehow that I kind of measured up to his certain expectation. And then he went on to wonder about the signs and wonders of our church, if we truly were a spirit-filled church. And so I wonder, if we were to be asked that question, if someone were to stand up here and address the whole congregation, "Are you Pentecostals?" How would we answer? How would we answer, "Are we a Pentecostal church?" We're not part of the Pentecostal church tradition, nor are we charismatic in that we in our worship are given to speaking in tongues, to hearing prophesying in that sense of the word as understood by Pentecostal churches. We don't have people being slain in the spirit here at Prairie Street. And so how do we know if we are truly Pentecostal? In other words, what does it mean to be a spirit-filled church? What does it mean to be spirit-filled individuals, a spiritual-filled body of Christ? What does a spiritual-filled church look like? We just heard a description here in Luke's description of that first Pentecost. After that first Pentecost, when the Spirit descended with fiery power, as Ben described in his opening words, we see certain signs and wonders, certain characteristics of a Spirit-filled church, a church that has become Pentecostal. We read of their witness, their nurture, their service, worship that's filled with praise and thanksgiving. We see mutual aid that's extended in the community, and we see a certain kind of boldness and growth within that community of faith. And notice how in this description of the church, it opens and ends with this community of faith being given to outreach, of sharing their new life in Christ. We see as a community of the Spirit, this first church on Pentecost, these seven signs, these seven markers of a church. The first of which is most striking is you have people coming together, these various tribes, these different people groups who are coming together, and we have this strange occurrence where there are tongues, and that people understood each other. There was a deep connection, even though they were so different. We have this unity amidst diversity, that while there are many tribes who are gathered, somehow there is a common tongue. We see their fellowship, that beyond kind of the buzz of conversation among friends, there's a deeper connection of a shared life together. And we see that characterized at the very end of this chapter with mutual aid that is described, where people are freely sharing of their resources. We see dynamic worship that's described, where people are singing, praying, giving thanks, singing praise. And there is a sense of exuberance and joy of this life in Christ, this life that's filled with the Spirit. We see how there are common meals together, gathering at the table, as something profound happens at the table, and where they're breaking bread and drinking wine. and they are observing communion following their love feasts. And we see immediately after this chapter, the very first story after they leave the place, we see service, where they are going out and meeting need. We have Peter and John going out, and they meet a man who is lame. And through the Spirit and in the name of Jesus, they extend healing of meeting this man's needs. And then we see freely and confident these believers are giving themselves to witness. And so if we consider these marks or these signs of a Spirit-filled church, I want us to be able to somehow claim that we too are Pentecostal, that we too are filled with the Spirit. It looks different, it may sound different, but these are the essential markers of a Spirit-filled church, a church of those who are following Jesus, who have a shared life in Christ, and who are open to the Spirit to lead them and to live in these ways. These marks are shared across various Christian traditions, but there is something that's rather distinctive about Pentecostals and Charismatics that I appreciate, they want to affirm, and kind of lift up for our consideration. In their shared life together, in their service, in their witness, in their worship, there is a certain boldness that we might consider here. In Acts, Luke frequently points to the boldness of believers, those followers of Jesus filled with the Spirit. It's one of the most common adjectives used in the book of Acts to describe Spirit-filled followers of Jesus, boldness. It's a recurring word throughout Acts. We find this in the initial description of the disciples who, following the crucifixion of Jesus, are kind of huddled and hidden away in fear. And then something happens when they meet the risen Christ. Something happens again when they are filled with the Spirit that gives them with a new boldness, a new freedom and confidence in their life in Christ. Boldness is used again in Acts 4 to characterize the manner of the Spirit-filled believer in verse 13, 29, and 31. In 4:13, we read, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and ordinary men, these onlookers were amazed and recognized them as companions of Jesus." And then in 4:29, when they prayed, "And now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants to speak your word with all boldness." And then verse 31, to seeing how their prayers were answered. "When they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word with boldness." The word that Luke uses throughout his writings here is parousia, this boldness, with that sense of freedom and confidence in one's being. And it's interesting to note that the very last verse of Acts 28, verse 31, closes with the same word, describing how Paul, living in Rome, welcomed all who came to him. They proclaimed the kingdom of God, teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. It becomes then a favorite word of Paul, which frequently recurs in his letter, this word boldness. Is it something that I appreciate from the Pentecostal tradition and Charismatics, that freedom, that confidence, something that directness in spiritual life? This last week, I had lunch with a consultant that I'm relating to for Mennonite Men, and he relates with a lot of Mennonites in the larger county here, and he said that he just loves what Anabaptists and Mennonites bring. But he said there's a certain kind of humility and quietness about him, and he said, I wonder why you're maybe not more outspoken than you are. Again, inviting a certain boldness to be more out there, to kind of stand up, to be present, to engage with a greater sense of maybe confidence or word. I love what the writer of 2 Timothy writes when he says that God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but the Spirit, and I like to think of capital S, who makes us strong, loving, and wise. It's that strength, that certain boldness, but it's coupled with love and wisdom. You can be bold, but also very unkind. You can be bold, but very ungracious and very unloving. And so this idea about boldness that's coupled with love and wisdom. And this is what we've prayed for our children, that verse, while our children were growing up. Every evening they heard these words. They might remember who they are, and the Spirit will be in their life to make them strong, loving, and wise. That those are the marks for us of Christian character. We think about being loving and wise, and I'd like to add to that that strength, and when it comes to congregational life, a certain boldness. So what might this mean for us to be a Pentecostal church following last week's meetings when we strongly affirmed the proposals of the community and leadership task groups brought to the congregation for discernment? those proposals, as David just reported, were affirmed. But how do we move forward? Prairie Street has, as we know, a long, exceptional history of a lot of capacity. It's lots of strengths and gifts, exceptionally so. But no matter what human strengths and abilities we bring together, what individuals may possess, it's not enough. It's going to take something more to bring these proposals, to breathe these proposals to life, and that's the Spirit. That we open ourselves as a body of Christ to the living Spirit of God, who's just as present with us here and now as on that day of Pentecost. Looking to be engaged, to utilize our God-given strengths and gifts, to employ our talents together, but to know that that's not enough. And to think about the text that's often used in Pentecost from Ezekiel 37 about that valley of dry bones. We might be able to bring our bones together, but it's going to be the Spirit of God who brings life, breathes life into our body, and breathes life into what we've called these proposals, these aims, these goals that we have set for this community of faith. The most challenging of the proposals is to envisioning ourselves as an intercultural church where today, like then, various tribes come together of being one in God, one in the Spirit, and it's going to take the Spirit to actually bring us together, that while we have various tongues, somehow there's a deeper connection. There is that unity among our diversity. And that's already the case. And it's simply kind of going further in our journey of bringing different cultures together. Because already there are the marks of the church here, in my observation. There is a really quite amazing difference in diversity here, and yet we're together. What is it holds us together? As Anabaptists, it's about following and living in the way of Jesus. And it's that Spirit within all of our relationships and all of our activities that holds us together, that makes us one. Individually, we might feel kind of lethargic, spiritually lethargic or sluggish. The invitation might be to kind of engage. We know that when we exercise our body, that it's actually energizing. Yesterday, I spent several hours working with my brush saw, clearing a lot of invasive brush in our woods. That fires me up when I have something meaningful I can do, and I get in my body, and I'm directly serving, you know, something that is for an environmental good. That really fires me up, and I can do that tirelessly. I find, however, if I'm sitting in my chair long enough at home, there's a certain sluggish spirit that sets in. I'm lethargic. And there's kind of an invitation there to find what is our call, to discover our gift and to engage and to employ that for the good of God's kingdom. And there's a certain kind of life that comes. This last week, I had the benefit of leading a peace camp at Bethany Christian Schools, working with three different age groups of kiddos, and had a wonderful time. And I noticed what it was like in my body engaging these kids, really trying to teach what I think is the way of peace, and wanting to take the work of peacemaking out of the walls of the church and into community. And I felt really fired up, and I thought, this is something of the Spirit. when we find what we're called to do and we engage that, new life comes into our body. And so the tiredness, the fatigue that I hear commonly reported might be an invitation for us to reconsider what is our gift and how are we called to be engaged in God's work and be this Spirit-filled community and to engage and allow that Spirit to breathe new life into us. As you'll notice in our fellowship hall, we have the timeline that we have left up. We have deliberately left that timeline up so that when we're in the fellowship hall, we can see the work of God, the work of the Spirit of God through the course of Prairie Street's history. But looking into the future, that line points to the glass windows that look out into the community to call our attention beyond ourselves and to be like the early church, those first followers of Jesus, filled with the Spirit, to go out with a certain boldness, whether it's South Central Elkhart or wherever we live and work and meet with people. This charismatic group that I was a part of many years ago, we met 5 nights a week for Bible study and to go out and to witness. One evening I left Goshen, I came to South Main Street, and it's right on the corner of Prairie Street here in South Main. When I came up by myself to witness that I met a prostitute. Never met a prostitute before. That required a certain boldness. Here's this woman who's kind of obviously working here at night, and to approach her, to engage her in a conversation, and to share something of Jesus with her. We had a really interesting conversation about her life and work. And then at a certain point, she kind of realized that I'm distracting herself from her work. And if we wanted to continue this conversation, then I need to buy her time, you know, as any other man would do. I thought, what do I do with this kind of opportunity, this request? And I walked away feeling like a cheap Mennonite. I'm not going to pay to witness to somebody, you know. Be kind of a true Mennonite. But I wonder, what would that have been like if I would have stayed with that boldness and, you know, pulled out my wallet and kind of paid up, not for a trick, but for witness. And what difference might that have made to engage and continue the conversation that I cared enough to kind of put out and to wonder, you know, what might that have led to, maybe an opening for the Spirit to be in this conversation. I look back on that encounter here at Prairie Street and South Main and wonder, am I so bold anymore? I have a hard time seeing myself doing that anymore, to be honest. There was a certain boldness of as a young man, opening myself up, being part of this zealous Bible study that was filled with boldness. And over the years, I've confessed that I've lost this kind of characteristic of a boldness. And so the Pentecostals around me would invite me to reconsider that, to kind of to allow a certain kind of directness, boldness, confidence, freedom to once again to fill my life, to fill our life as we're witnesses of Jesus. This witness is one of our two founding pillars here at Prairie Street. You know, it's witness and formation, right? And for our witness, as we move forward with these proposals, really to open ourselves to the Spirit of God, that we too might be Pentecostal, and that we too, as we reach out and share Jesus and allow the Spirit to flow through us to the world, would also see what happened then, and day by day, God adds to their numbers. Amen.
Please turn to the purple Sing the Story book to number 96. Had God Brought Us Out.
God brought us out.
40.
Let us pray. God of grace, we thank you for feeding us. Empower us by your Holy Spirit that we may be gospel people.
Dios de gracia, gracias por los alimentos, por alimentarnos. Danos poder con tu Espíritu Santo para que seamos personas del Evangelio.
Living in resurrection hope, giving ourselves to you, and giving ourselves for the healing of the nations, like Jesus gave himself for us.
Viviendo en la esperanza y en la resurrección, dándonos a ti para la curación de las naciones, como Jesús se dio a sí mismo por nosotros. Amén.
And all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
Please turn in the blue hymnal to number 478. And those who are able, please stand.
Please come downstairs and let's continue our time of communion with each other, enjoying conversation and coffee in the fellowship hall. And I invite you now to, if you feel like it, exit through this door today because there's something special for you on the way out. Receive this benediction. The blessing of God, the shalom of God, the wildness and warmth of God be among us and between us now and always. The empowering spirit dwells in us. Amen.